And Julie had been so caught up with Luke lately that Laura almost seemed like a stranger. She'd grown up without Julie noticing. She lay on her back, her spiky hair very black against the pillow, snoring slightly, her mouth open. It was a bad time for hay fever. Julie saw that the window was open, and although it was so hot, she shut it to keep out the pollen. The moonlight splashed onto the field behind the house where they'd been cutting grass. She returned to the bathroom and banged on the door with the flat of her palm.
"Hey, are you going to be in there all night?"
With the third bang, the door opened. It hadn't been locked. There was a smell of bath oil, heavy and sweet, which Julie didn't recognise as hers. Luke's clothes were neatly folded on the toilet seat. He had always been beautiful, even as a baby. Much lovelier than Laura, which had never seemed fair. It was the blonde hair and the dark eyes, the long, dark eyelashes. Julie stared at him, submerged beneath the bathwater, his hair rising like fronds of seaweed towards the surface. She couldn't see his body because of the flowers. They floated on the perfumed water. Only the flower heads, not the stems or the leaves. There were the big ox-eye daisies which had grown in the cornfields when she was a kid. Overblown poppies, the red petals translucent now. And enormous blue blossoms, which she had seen before in gardens in the village, but which she couldn't name. Julie must have screamed. She heard the sound as if someone else had made it. But still, Laura slept, and Julie had to shake her to wake her. The girl's eyes opened suddenly, very wide. She looked terrified, and Julie found herself muttering, knowing that she was lying.
"It's all right, pet. Everything's all right, but you have to get up."
Laura swung her legs out of bed. She was trembling, but not really awake. Julie put her arm around her and supported her as they stumbled together down the stairs. They stood like that, wrapped up in each other's arms on the doorstep of the neighbour's house, and the silhouette thrown on the wall by the streetlight made Julie think of people in a crazy three-legged race, one of those pub crawls that students went in for. She leaned against the bell until the lights upstairs went on and footsteps came, and she had someone to share the nightmare with. Chapter 2. It disturbed Felicity Calvert that she'd become so preoccupied with sex. Once, in the doctor's waiting room, she'd read a magazine which claimed that adolescent boys thought about sex every 6 minutes. Then she'd found it hard to believe. How could these young men lead a normal life? Go to college, watch a film, play football, when they were so frequently distracted. And what of her own son? Watching James playing on the floor with his Lego, it had been impossible to imagine that in a few years he would be similarly obsessed. But now she thought that an interval of 6 minutes between sexual daydreams could be a conservative estimate, in her case at least. For a while now, an awareness of her body and its responses had been with her, whatever she was doing, an uneasy, occasionally pleasurable background to the stuff of everyday life. For someone of her age, this seemed inappropriate. It was as if she'd attended a funeral wearing pink. She was in the garden picking the first of the strawberries. She lifted the net carefully, sliding her hand underneath between the mesh and the straw bedding. They were still small, but there should be enough for James's tea. She tasted one. It was warm from the sun and very sweet. Glancing at her watch, she saw it was almost time for the school bus. 10 more minutes, and she'd have to wash her hands and walk down the lane to meet him. She didn't always go. He claimed he was old enough to make his own way to the house, and of course that was true. But today he'd have his violin, and he'd be glad to see her because she could help him carry his stuff.